Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 449. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I've got blood in my alcohol or alcohol in my blood. I just can't tell anymore.
Not sure which. Earl is here.
Howdy.
And returning from a four-month vacation, Pete has come back. He has returned.
Prodigal son has returned.
Wait, who's Pete again? Which one is Pete? I can't.
He likes the fancy games.
Oh.
I guess Pete heard last week's episode and had to prove that he wasn't afraid of me.
Y'all can still hear me, right?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Okay. It's been too long, so I don't remember how a lot of this shit works.
How podcasting works.
speaking of podcasting, have we figured out a solution for how we're going to do this when Google Plus shuts down soon? Because Hangouts goes with it.
Google Plus is gone. It shut down.
Oh, I thought the reason everyone was freaking out about that was because Hangouts is going with it.
No, I think Hangouts is shutting down, but that's a separate entity. Because it was Hangout. No, it's Google Plus. Then it was Google I/O, and then I think Hangouts is supposed to be phased out soon.
Yeah, and I think like this is our setup here is run straight through YouTube. Like, I go to my YouTube channel and hit live event.
So it won't matter for us then.
I'm sure they will have some sort of backup for that. If not,
I hope so, yeah.
If not, it's going to be a week of scrambling for me to figure out what the fuck's going on.
Let's say
you could do it old school Skype. Yeah. Or I guess Discord, but I don't know if you can record off Discord yet.
And I don't have Skype installed, and I refuse to install it. That program is...
You probably have Skype installed and don't know
right.
it.
It's following
that
you
would
around.
Make sense, yeah.
Hey, I don't have Skype installed on my computer, and somehow it showed up. I think it just defaults on Windows now.
Yeah, and Microsoft's really tricky about calling other products that are Skype different things. Like at work, we use something called Link, which is really just Skype. and in fact, like when I get meeting requests from other companies, like it'll be like connect through Skype, and it just goes through my Link account at work. So
done.
Yeah, that you probably have Skype installed on your computer 27 different times, so you just don't know it because it's basically malware.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah. Anyway, I played Days Gone.
Oh. Why? Yeah, because there's zombies and it's a game, right? He likes games about zombies.
I do like games about zombies. Yeah, go ahead. That is a good answer, Tony. Thank you for answering.
Is Tony here?
Yeah.
No,
I can't fucking hear Tony at all.
That's weird.
Then who have you been responding to?
I have him blocked. That's why.
I've been talking to you two guys.
But you guys can translate the things that
he
I
doesn't
see
show
Peter.
Up as like. Having microphone or anything like it's just
that is very blank. Weird. This is going to be an interesting show because you can't hear a quarter of
it. I'm going to try to reset in a second.
Okay, why you do that? Tell us about this Days Gone, the best-selling game of Europe last week.
It was, which is funny because Mortal Kombat 11 came out, and that's certainly a game with a higher profile and received way better reviews. And there were the reviews for Days Gone are scathing. But I listened to a couple shows last week that were talking about how, you know, if Days Gone had just done a couple other different things, like it could really find its audience. And evidently it did, at least in Europe.
For a week, we'll see where they... I mean, let's be honest. There is a market for high-profile first-party titles on any system that's going to buy it week one.
Like how what that tail is going to be interesting, but it evidently sold fairly well first week. It is, let's say, Sons of Anarchy... mixed with a little bit of like The Last of Us and The Walking Dead. and maybe a little bit of Far Cry.
Which part of Far Cry?
The open world. A lot of that open, a lot of the open world, the Ubisoft open world model that has, you know, kind of permeated games over the last, maybe the last decade. They've been running games like that since Far Cry 3. So it's that model. Like there are camps to clear out. There are towers to clear. There are, hangouts, bases to blow up. There are camps that you liberate and side missions to run on. There are animals to hunt. There's a lot going on, but it all feels very similar to what we've done before.
And I think that was kind of the gist of the reviews, is that it's not a bad game, but it's very kind of like been there, done that.
Yeah, it is. I would not go into Days Gone expecting anything outside of open world game design of the last decade. It is the aesthetic. Like, if you are kind of interested in like a Sons of Anarchy mixed with Walking Dead type thing, this will hit the spot for you. Because I think it plays fine. Like, gunplay is good, better than anything Naughty Dog's done.
Suck it, Naughty Dog.
Their gunplay is not good. Fun.
It's not good. No.
Yeah. I mean, like, the combat encounters aren't super deep or engaging. Like, they're, you know, it's some cover based shooting with a couple different types of enemies. Like, there's these guys called the Rippers, and they are like this cult.
Are they led by Jesse?
Yes.
Or Jack. They should be led by Jack.
Jack the Ripper, yeah. Or Jesse and the Rippers, right? That was what
Yeah. A very old school reference, so.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they are not run by either Jack or Jesse. Closer to Jack, though, I would say, as they like to cut themselves and other people, and they're a little crazy and are part of a cult. Those guys are a little, like, they are a little more chargy. They'll run at you. Bandits or marauders will just kind of, they'll hold back and they'll, like, set up a defensive posture and attack you that way. They don't really charge at you. And then there's the freakers, which are the zombies, and they'll just swarm you. And that's, I guess that's one of the big things, is that, like, they throw a ton of enemies on screen. I haven't seen anything that's, like, nearly as impressive as, say, Dead Rising 3.
Oh, no.
Like, that's a game that came out when the Xbox One launched and was able to put a ton of zombies on screen. I haven't come across anything like that. Like, I know there are these things called swarms. I have evidently just not run into one yet. I've had like a few hundred chasing me at once, but like once you get far enough away, they lose interest. But I've not hit a swarm.
And that is not the swarm.
Evidently not, because there's an achievement for surviving your first swarm. So I have not gotten that trophy. And you would think there would be some sort of story driven moment about it, like to introduce you to that mechanic, because there are tutorial missions for nearly everything else that they would try and teach you about the swarm, and they haven't done that yet. Although I am 14 hours into the game, so who the hell knows?
Yeah, with another 45 to go. So
yeah, I hear it's long.
Really?
Yeah, I hear it's 60 hours long.
Why?
I don't know.
And that's not to say that I think it's a bad game or I've not played it, but I do think there's games that you look at and it's like, do you need to be 50 hours?
No, there's so much like little extraneous stuff that they're packing in that would just be like, hey, if you want to go do this, you can. Like in this, there's a lot of like stuff that would be side mission-y in other open world games that is very much is like, this is a mandatory story event and you need to go do it. I'm enjoying it though. It's fine. There's some weird stuff around some of the storytelling. It's very disjointed. There's also some stuff where your character is a complete idiot at times. Like, evidently he's been bringing people to this one camp for quite a while now, probably about the entire time that this apocalypse has been going on. And at first, like, you know, she seems okay. Like when you first introduced to her, like she's running a camp, like, and she calls it a work camp, and like,
oh God,
but they're like, just, you know, they're trying to, like, it looks like they're, you know, setting up an irrigation system or like trying to build up some sort of community. Turns out that she's a pretty shitty person and is basically running a slave camp. And your character like keeps sending people there. And there's a storyline specifically with one girl, like where Tucker, the work camp runner, she asks you to go find this girl. You go find her, hanging out in this little town by herself and has been for like quite a while now. And you bring her back to the camp, and she knows the lady. Evidently, they were neighbors. And then you get a call not too long later that, like, she's asking, like, she's begging you to basically come save her because it's a slave camp. So it's a little shitty in that. And he's like, well, what do you mean? Like, everybody has to work, but it's safe here. Like, the fucking slave camp. That's why she doesn't want to be here.
You basically brought her to DeKalb, and you're like, what's wrong?
Right. I don't understand. They give you food as long as you work 17 hours a day for them. But I've just been introduced to a new camp. They seem nicer. Like, it's funny because, like, you see, you rescue the girl from this one camp, and you call up a friend of yours who's at this other camp that you haven't gone to yet, and she comes and rescues the girl, takes her away, brings her to her camp, and you end up going there. And like, one of the first conversations you have with the runner of that camp is like, well, like everybody's got to work here. So it's another fucking work camp. Like, this whole world is really shit.
Gonna go join the Gestapo right now, and like, you know,
it's like, either you can go like live out in the open where there's no supplies, nothing going on. Although there's tons of gas and ammo lying around, which is really weird. Because that's one of the big mechanics, is you have to fill up your gas tank. Your bike,
exciting.
Your bike runs out of gas, which can be terrifying. Like, you're riding along to a place you haven't opened up fast travel yet, and you run out of gas, and then you're like kind of scrounging through the area trying to find gas, like a gas can or something, while avoiding the freakers. It can be an annoying mechanic, but it can also set up some pretty cool tension. Like, I don't know, the game seems, I think the scores are fair. Like, I think they received like low sevens. That's probably accurate. I think some of the criticisms in the reviews have been a bit harsh, but like harsher than what their scores reflect, I think. But I don't think people know how to utilize the whole score, the whole like
range.
Metric, yeah, the whole range. So everything just ends up in the sevens. I don't know. I guess there are people from the, you know, the Sony Defense Force out there protecting the game. So good on them. I would say if you're interested, though, wait a bit. I'm sure it'll be like $30 and
or less.
Yeah, because like what Far Cry New Dawn was down to like what, $20 in like a month,
like 2 weeks, right?
Yeah. So I don't doubt that this game will, you know, it will drop in value quickly. So if you're interested in a super long open world biker game with zombies, Also, the guy's name is fantastic, though. Deacon St. John.
Like, performance seen in a long time.
What was that, Pete?
It just sounds like he was a former porn star.
Yeah. His best friend's name is Boozer. It's amazing.
And the one thing I do know is that clip that went viral, then there was a backlash to it, the whole wedding vow scene.
Uh-huh.
Apparently that is a thing from Sons of Anarchy, which is an actual biker culture thing, so...
I have not gotten to that scene yet. Jeff actually did tell me about that. I was like, that scene seems really, like, really bad. And he was like, that was, like, straight out of the TV show. Like, oh, okay.
I don't know if that makes it any better, that they just decided to steal the line wholesale from the show.
Well, I assume if it's in the show, I imagine it's probably something that's actually...
Yeah, it hard. Sounds like it's, like, not just from the show, like it's, like, as Earl said... previously, like it's kind of part of the culture, like that's a thing that bikers evidently say at their weddings. It's just weird, but
sure.
Well, no one ever said they were cultured, so
yeah.
Not to say that bikers aren't cultured, in case there's any bikers right. Listening to this podcast. No, that's what I was saying. We have bikers.
Which is funny, like, because so the lady, your wife Sarah, Deacon's wife in this game, like, she's like a fucking scientist. What is she doing with this dude?
Getting back at her father.
I guess. I don't know. It's so weird. But I mean, I guess that also, like, just if you've ever seen Sons of Anarchy, like the Jax's wife, she was a doctor or something like that.
So is this just like a huge...
Sons of Anarchy with zombies.
It's Sons of Anarchy mixed with The Walking Dead, like, and maybe a little bit of The Last of Us, because why not? Whatever. It's a game. I'm enjoying it. I don't regret my purchase. I recommend people don't pay full price for it. What else we got going on this week? Earl, you been playing anything?
Nope, just more of the Division. Oh, I did try out SNK 40th Anniversary on the Xbox.
Okay.
And then I realized I don't really know anything about SNK. And
a lot of fighting games, right?
No, that was what... Because I know them for fighting games, okay. But there's no fighting games on this collection. It's mostly a lot of their earlier arcade titles. So stuff like Akiri Warriors...
okay.
So yeah, it's like a lot of not beat 'em ups exactly, but kind of that they had that weird isometric beat 'em up stuff, and then like the shoot 'em up games.
Right.
So I was surprised because I know SNK as a fighting game company mostly. So it was really weird that there's really no fighting games on this collection, and I've only dipped into a handful of them. But they seem to be from the earlier arcade era, which meant that they, for lack of a better word, didn't control that great. That really just that weird kind. Like, for instance, I played, I think, Akiri Warriors 3. And it's one of those games where you have essentially two buttons. One punches and one kicks. But when you kick, you do a roundhouse, which is fine if it was like Streets of Rage. But it's closer to, as far as a camera angles, it's closer to like Into the Past, and that it's overhead, and you're kind of walk. You see the character from overhead.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing to kind of gauge like where enemies are, or like enemies jump, and if you can time that.
Yeah,
like,
doing a roundhouse in a non-3D
environment
is weird.
And yeah, I learned just not to throw roundhouses anymore because like by the time you throw it, like most of the enemies will just get too close to you. And it's just easier to punch them because at least then you have a shorter range and no wind up with the kick. And then, you know, I just dipped into one or two. I mean, I could be wrong and it might change in the future. The other thing I noticed is that it's kind of buggy right now. And I don't know if it's just because it's still in early state for the Xbox, but even navigating the menu and stuff was kind of a chore, and that's not necessarily a good sign for the rest of the collection.
No. That's weird. I honestly, just like you, would have thought an SNK collection would have been mostly fighting games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nah, who needs fighting games?
Capcom. But I mean, aside from that, it's like if you were to make a Nintendo collection and just say, yeah, we're not going to include any platformers. And it's an odd, I assume they probably have like an SNK fighter collection, but it's weird to put this out and not have any of those on here because it is what you're known for.
Yeah, like at least some, right? Like whatever your big titles are, like every Capcom collection throws Street Fighter 2 on it.
Yeah, or like how somehow Sonic weasels his way onto anything Sega related.
Right. I mean, there's a reason for that, but.
Oh yeah, where's my Sonic Total War? Where's that? Tell me.
Oh, that's not a collection. That's a game.
I'm just saying, Sonic should be in there somewhere.
He's coming.
Whether you want him to or not.
He's coming to Total War. That is, they are reconvening and refocusing their efforts on IP that they all like make in house. So.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll talk about Sonic some more in a bit.
Yeah. All right. Well, Pete, you been playing anything?
Not really.
Do you want to tell us about Dreams?
I'm sorry?
You want to tell us anything about Dreams?
No.
No?
No. I played some of the tutorials, but I don't think that's something I have the time for.
Yeah, it looks very intense. Like super cool, but I don't know if I have
for the more dedicated.
Yeah, like some of the stuff that's coming out of that space right now is nuts.
And
it's
maybe very early. After like 6 months, I can jump back in and there'll be enough assets for me to like want to mess around with some stuff.
Right. Like
I don't have a steady enough hand to
do the asset creation.
Yeah.
Yeah. That looks a little bit beyond my expertise. So, all right, Tony.
I've been playing a little Imperator, which is the new Paradox game.
This is why Jeff went to go see Churches.
That's right. He's like, I know this came out. I'm just going to hide from it. That's fine because I haven't played enough to really talk in depth. So don't worry, Jeff. When you come back next week, we're going to really hear about it. So, Imperator, it's a strategy game. It focuses on the Roman era, like circa 300 BC and going forward. So, I played as Rome, so I'm basically in charge of a republic, which was interesting because I needed to convince the Senate before I could declare war on certain countries. Which is a little... So you need to like make concessions and that kind of thing. So there's like a balance to manage there. You can like bribe your senators and that kind of thing. It's like the game is a combination of two Paradox games, Crusader Kings 2, which kind of had a really robust character-based RPG element. So there's like lots of people to manage in your empire that are like individuals with agendas and like traits and stuff that they like and that kind of thing. And then combined with Europa Universalis, which is their like nation management simulation. So you're running a country and then dealing with all of the people in it. So it's kind of a really robust and really complex type of game. So it's going to take me a while to wrap my head all the way around it, but it's in a really fun era, and it seems to have some really cool mechanics so far. You can like make sacrifices to the gods and like change your empire stats. Since you're in charge of a republic, there's elections, and if different parties are in charge, your country will have different like focuses and different boosts, so it might change how you play the game. Okay. So there's a lot of cool elements here. I really need to play a lot more of it to explore what's going on because it is very, very deep.
can you pick a different? Do you have to start out as Rome?
No, you can play any country in existence. So you can be a random Gallic tribe if you wanted to be, like a tribe that migrates around, and like play the game completely differently. You could be Carthage, Rome's bitter enemy. You could in that era, it's like post Alexander, so you could play one of like the successor empires of Alexander the Great. So there's lots of like really cool options there, but yeah, you can play any country that existed. You could actually, if you wanted to, play like one of Rome's neighbors and try to conquer Rome before Rome becomes Rome.
That would be a interesting alternate history take.
Right.
All right. Well, that seems very deep.
Yes.
And
there's a lot going on. I'm very excited to play more of it. But I want to save my real commentary for when Jeff is here, because
it's fair.
I know that he really appreciates it.
I guess the only other thing that I had going on was Jeff tweeted out late last week that he was going to play Castle of Illusion, starring Mickey Mouse. He just tweeted up like on it. It was on his TV, and I was like, I have that game. Like, I have the original game. He was playing the remake. So I went back and played that game, and that game's not great. It's like a very simplistic 2D platformer, action platformer. It's okay. It's just like looking at like that, which it looks great. Like visually, it's a very nice game, but like looking at that compared to something like DuckTales or Rescue Rangers, like the gameplay just is not there. Like, it's so simplistic. It's like there were better games from before this. So, but I played all the way through it. It's very short too, only about 2 hours. So I hope Jeff had a better time with the remake than I did with the original. But anyway, there's a little bit of news, not a lot this week, but let's see what's going on here. I guess since we were previously talking about Sonic.
Yes, Blue Streak speeds by Sonic the Hedgehog, too fast for the naked eye. Yes, that was a thing that came out this week.
Yeah.
Ruined my day.
the Sonic the Hedgehog movie trailer dropped.
It was beautiful.
You saw it?
Beautiful.
So everybody here has seen it. Tony thinks it's beautiful. Great. That's good. I'm glad somebody got the way out of it.
Be the one person on Earth that actually enjoyed the trailer. No.
It was a weird thing. Still kind of dumbfounded by it.
It felt like a threat. Like, we're going to fucking make this movie. And here's proof.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know everybody focuses on the Sonic the Hedgehog character. And I imagine it's partially because the movie is called Sonic the Hedgehog.
That would do it, yeah.
But, it seems like a fair reason to, yeah.
It does seem like the movie's trying to sell us Jim Carrey's. It's a Jim Carrey vehicle that happens to be based off of a video game.
And I will say that the one thing that I was like, all right, like at least there's that, was Jim Carrey doing like full on
90s Jim Carrey. Yeah,
like earlier, like. Ace Ventura, like that type of Jim Carrey stuff. Like, he's going for it here. That's something.
He's going for it. But what he's going for is nothing like you would expect from Dr. Robotnik.
No, not at all.
It's like, I don't even know what it's like. Literally, he's not playing that character.
He's playing Jim Carrey from the 1990s.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I don't. I I mean, I don't get it, but I don't hate it. I just don't know why there's so many humans in this movie. Like, I don't get the point of the cop character. Like, I mean, I'll guess when I see the movie, it will make more sense. But like, I don't get the part of point of.
I think you're giving them a lot of more credit.
I like the part where you're like, when I see this movie, because I'm not seeing this movie.
I totally am.
I'm going to go see the actual good CG video game movie.
Yeah, you are.
According to reviews, the decent CG video game movie. Okay. Let's be honest. I've seen almost every video game movie to date. So
this almost. I refuse to believe that you haven't seen every video game movie to date.
I have not seen. I've actually not seen Rampage yet, nor Need for Speed. I've not seen Hitman Agent 47.
You've seen like all the low budget.
You've seen all the bad, horrible ones, and not yes. the high budget horrible ones.
Like yeah, like not good. Like Need for Speed was not a good movie, but there was a budget behind it.
But what I hear from Need for Speed is that it's really boring.
Very.
And that makes it very hard for me to like, oh man, I have to see this movie. If you tell me it's very terrible if it's a train wreck, I'm there day one. You tell me it's boring, it's like, oh, what am I going to watch this for? I've not seen Rampage just because I've not had time to work that into my schedule.
Rampage isn't good, but it's fun.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's a movie I should watch on my own or if that's a movie I should watch on a Friday night.
I don't know if Rampage is that bad.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like so exceedingly average.
Like it's fun. Like it's a movie with The Rock in it. I found it fun, but it's not like
their misstep was casting The Rock because that made that like gave it a little too much credit.
Yes.
I needed somebody worse than The Rock. Stallone or something, you know, like
because the Rock can kind of like at least currently he's able to pull films through on his charisma alone sometimes, like and this is like one of them. Like the movie was mediocre enough, but like he's obviously having a good time with it, and you want to have a good time with The Rock.
Yeah,
just do.
So yeah, I mean, we talked about the trailer a bit with Sonic the Hedgehog, but I mean, breaking now tonight, we also learned that they're changing the design of Sonic.
Because for whatever reason, it took for the trailer coming out for them to realize that this was bad and not the poster or any of the pre-release images or any of the other things that people had looked at.
Yeah, I almost feel like it's like, all right, let's release the trailer.
Once they see it, they'll know.
But also, like we already know, like we've actually already done the work. Sonic has already been changed. He doesn't look like this anymore. Let's release this.
I actually kind of believe that too. That they not that they like had, but I feel like they were probably debating which design to go with, and they just saw the reaction to this, and like. I feel like they were doing two tracks with this movie.
I want to know who thought this was a good idea.
Yeah, fire that person, please.
Like, I don't know what they're going for because, like, if you wanted a more humanoid Sonic, Sega's already done that with like his Zelda 3D stuff. Since Adventures, he's been more humanoid. He's taller. He has thinner legs. He has, you know, closer proportions to people. If you want to. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about that. I mean, that's they made him an alien, I think.
Which is, like, technically true, I guess. Like, it makes more. I think you have to do it that way. Otherwise, you have to build a world in which either he's a scientific experiment or animals have always been like this.
Right. Well, the games, like, Sonic does not take place on Earth. It takes place on a different planet.
Oh, I have not. Well, I thought it did take place on Earth.
The later games do.
Yeah. But I was going to say that there's nothing in the game that specifically say he isn't an alien. Like, I don't think they've ever gone into Sonic's origins, except for maybe Sonic Underground, and that's a whole different creature. So yes, I will be there day, let's say 95 when it releases on digital, and I can watch in the comfort of my own home with like a six pack.
At least, maybe a 12-pack.
Yeah,
I'm totally using one of my weekly movies, one of my three movies to go see this film.
Well, you tell us how it goes then.
Well, Planet Mobius
Yes, that's the one.
is
Strip it down, baby. Strip it down.
But Planet Mobius, I thought was from the cartoon.
It's from the comic books.
Yeah, I don't
Well, I
know.
thought it was from the cartoons, then that made it into the comic books.
No idea, but it was let's see. Mobius was originally established as Sonic's home planet in the Sonic Bible during the
Sonic
production
Bible.
of the original Sonic the Hedgehog game in 1991.
Oh, all right, well.
Okay.
That may not be an accurate sighting. That is something on the Sonic Planet Wikia on fandom. So somebody wrote that in. It could be totally
See no
untrue.
reason to trust the hardcore Sonic fandom here.
Right.
Yes.
I
So
believe that to be accurate.
stay tuned for our episode later in this year where we do a deep dive into Sonic Lore.
Yeah. Also, why did they end that trailer with a weird child kidnapping gag?
That was a like I've heard people say they found it funny, so I guess that worked for some people, but that was really weird.
So strange.
Nothing pleases me more
Weird
than child
joke.
kidnapping. I mean, let's be honest.
I guess James, like the lines they gave James Marsden, where they're like, "Do you have a child in that bag?" And he's like, "I don't know. What is he trying to accomplish by saying yes to that?" Like,
Right. Well, it's like, is your child in that bag? He's like, well, no. Well, yes, but not my child.
right. I'm like, I almost wonder if the scene is actually like edited that way for the trailer, and it doesn't. The joke
Hope
isn't written like that because that.
Well, the
That's
other thing
probably the funniest joke in the movie. I
the
mean,
other thing I was
right?
going to say is that they, as far as I know, like that person with him is with him, but they don't really say that up in the trailer. At first, I thought she was a random person at the other Vader, but on my second watch of the trailer, I noticed that she's with him earlier on. So I guess she's his partner or his girlfriend. And that
Yeah.
didn't come across in that scene to me. So,
Yeah, it just seemed really awkward. It's like this is a really weird thing to have in this trailer.
yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't, I mean, ultimately, I don't know who this trailer sold the movie to because it wasn't like to diehard Sonic fans and it wasn't to people who were. It's not like a great trailer.
No, certainly not.
Unless you're a diehard Jim Carrey fan who wants the golden ages back, I don't think this trailer sold anybody on the movie.
No, it's a bad piece of marketing. I can't wait for the new trailer where
Yes.
they
What
have.
90s bad remix song do they give it to next?
Oh wow, that was the other. Fucking Gangster's Paradise.
Yes, Gangsta Paradise was an interesting choice for many reasons.
Oh, like that's not the first thing I think of when I think Sonic.
Like, I feel like if like they could have just said it to any one of like the Sonic songs from the video games, and that would have given them at least some
Credibility.
credit. Yeah.
I wonder if there are any mashups with Sonic songs yet. Probably is somewhere.
Oh, well, speaking of movies, I guess they announced another one in a row.
Yes.
They announced what?
They announced not another Sonic movie, don't worry.
Was like,
thank God.
They announced, I was going to say the disclaimer that a lot of movies get announced, it doesn't necessarily mean they get made. But right now, I believe that they have lined up F. Gary Gray to direct a Saint Row movie.
Oh, no.
Most people probably know him from the Fate of the Furious. And I believe he did Straight Outta Compton.
That sounds accurate.
So yeah, I mean, between those two movies, I think he's a good fit. He has a grasp on American African American, and ludicrous action sequences involving cars. So I mean, you kind of got the foundation of the St. Rose franchise right there.
And he also he did The Italian Job as well, the remake of that. So he's good with cars.
Yeah, what is that, 2003?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think he's a good fit. I think it's one of those properties that makes sense, that could work as essentially it could be Fast and the Furious on steroids.
Sure.
Which, I mean, at this point, I guess that is Fast and the Furious.
And it's Hobbs and Shaw, baby.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if this is cycle it back, take Fast and Furious, but cycle it back to that first film, that setting, not necessarily like Point Break with cars, but that type of setting where it's like
that scrappy underdog feeling that you got with the original movie.
Yeah.
That somehow devolved into them battling subs and fighting Superman. So, you know, the natural arc of things.
Can't wait for Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, I am so near day one. I was about to say, don't get it wrong. I love the Fast and the Furious franchise. But if anybody was to ever map out how we got, if you watched just the first movie and Hobbs and Shaw and tried to explain to anybody how we got here, I would love to sit in on that conversation.
The funny thing is that that series tried so hard to have a consistent identity, but could never replicate it for the longest time for those first four movies.
And I think I think it worked out for its benefit because it's one of those franchises that which really retrofitted. Even look at it, the first three movies doesn't have a consistent cast. Vin Diesel isn't in the second and third one. Paul Walker isn't in the third one. Paul Walker's in the second one, but he's the same character, but a completely different character in that sense.
Yep.
And then the fourth one is then they start trying to tie the first three together to make sense. Well, the first two, because the third one doesn't count.
Not yet, yeah.
But it didn't count until the sixth one. And then there's characters they introduce in four and five who never show up again. There's no reason given. They just don't show up again.
That's because they sucked.
They were bad characters, but yeah, we've had people die and come back. We have people become superheroes. We've had villains turn heroes. We've had antagonists turn protagonists in the same movie.
Yep.
I mean, at this point, I believe they're multi-millionaires, but they're also broke
somehow.
I don't get it, but I still love it.
It's the best kind of ridiculous. Just a note on F. Gary Gray. He's directing this year's Men in Black International.
Okay.
Which I don't know. That looks fun. And he's also, this is the one that caught my eye, he's announced to direct Mask, which is based on the 1980s TV show, the cartoon that had the cool spy, the car that could turn into an airplane, had the big rig that had a giant missile in the back of it. He's doing a live action rendition of that.
I support all of those things.
Yes. Mask versus Venom. Venom was the terrorist organization. So I'm all down for F. Gary Gray directing whatever. he seems to be going in a completely ludicrous direction since Straight Outta Compton, but I'm there with him.
More power to him if he makes it work.
Yeah. What else we got in news?
Bloodstained got a release date of June 18th for PC, PS4, and Xbox One, and I believe June 25th for the Switch. So that's like 15 years in the making.
Yeah, it's been a while. I hope that game turns out good. And right now, June is looking... Normally, June's like a dead spot for games, but June is shaping up to be pretty packed this year.
I will say this much for June as an aside. Somebody pointed out today that it's like a month until E3, and I'm like, this is the first year I didn't... Like, it actually dawned on me that I'm surprised E3 so soon. It just doesn't feel like a big event this year.
No. I mean, Sony pulling out and EA basically saying they're not going to do a conference. Like, it's not the same.
No, so I'm curious to see what comes of that. But yeah, I think I'm hoping that a lot of developers are becoming smart about spreading out their release dates. Because June used to be, and this is a very small cross section of your audience, I imagine. But June used to be January for video games. So if you know anything about movies, you dump your worst movies in January because it's right after Oscar season. Yeah. So nobody's paying attention to what you release, and it's before the blockbuster season. So June was always like, you rush a game out during E3 and hope that nobody notices that you released it.
So are you telling me, Earl, that Bloodstained is going to be garbage?
Well, I said it used to be. There have been some tremendous games released in June. I believe Metal Gear Solid 5 was a June title.
Hmm. Hearts of Iron 4.
I don't know what that is.
Damn it, Earl. I thought you knew about games.
Sushi Striker was released in June.
A bona fide classic
that like five people played, I'm sure. But yeah, there has been a few games released in June with notoriety. But yeah, traditionally, it's kind of the games you... Because it's so close to E3 that it just kind of gets swamped in all the coverage of the new titles and consoles announced. So right. There's no good reason to release it.
Well, I guess it's like, oh shit, it's the end of... For a lot of companies, it'll be the end of the first quarter for them.
And, or the end of the fiscal year, depending on how your calendar
right.
works.
It's like, oh, well, we either got it, like, we can get this stuff out and write it off for the quarter or for the year and call it a day. I don't know. I hope Bloodstained is good. I also hope that Crash Team Racing, which comes out in June, is good. And obviously, like, Mario Maker 2, I hope that is good.
Well, I don't doubt Mario Maker 2 is going to be good. Not because I have some giant allegiance to Nintendo, but, I mean, if nothing else, it's going to be Mario Maker 1, which is fine.
Right. It'll still be a great level editor to make goofy Mario levels with, so.
What would be more concerning is if there's enough new stuff in it.
Yeah. I do like what they show, what like the leak that came out of Japan over the last, I think it was like the last week, that shows you can do the train like with the out of the pipes, you can do like the long plant thing that
Makes
like a train like that goes like all the way down. So like you can make some like really cool stuff with that. I'm drawing a blank on what the hell that thing is called, but a piranha plant. I think I would know that, but anyway, I think there's one more thing I see on your list here, Earl, from news. That was it. Psyonix joined.
Oh, Epic. Yeah. Epic bought them yesterday. Which, so for people who don't know, they're the makers of Rocket League, and that really kind of caused a shit story yesterday. Last I heard, it's kind of been retracted, because I think when it came out, Epic, they've joined Epic, they are going to become a part of Epic, that much is true.
Right.
But I think when it first came out, that came out, and then I think it was that like, Rocket League was going to be taken off of Steam, and a lot of people got upset about that. I believe the most recent update I heard is like that's no longer going to happen.
So the clarification that I heard was that it would no longer be sold on Steam, but they weren't like delisting it. Like you would still be able to play it. They're still going to support it there,
but you can't buy it anymore. You
wouldn't be able to buy it. Like, well, like going forward, like I guess, and not immediately, but
at I think some it's like point, June. It's dated this year.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, if they are owned by a company that has a storefront, it would make sense to sell it on your storefront. But, yeah, I would imagine a lot of people aren't, because you don't often see that happen where something happens like mid, and I guess not gen because it's a PC, but like during the life cycle of a product where it's kind of made exclusive. Yeah, that doesn't usually happen. Like, if it's out, it's out.
Right. Like, and like, you even look at, I mean, maybe Microsoft's a good example of like the opposite of how they're handling things. They bought Obsidian, who is releasing a game this year, and that game is still coming out on everything.
Right, but I wonder if that's due to that they've already signed that particular game to a publisher and have contract to fulfill on that end. That
sure, sure. I'm sure that they do, but you know, like they're like Hellblade, like they have no like, so they also bought a
Ninja Theory.
So Hellblade is coming out on Switch like very soon. Like
it's out on Switch.
Is it out on Switch now?
Yeah.
So it's like, and that was after the purchase of that too. Like I don't know.
I mean, honestly, I would say the best example for Microsoft would be Minecraft, which has been ported time and time again after they purchased it.
Continue to drop that on everything.
Not only is it ported, but they also do exclusive content for some of the other platforms.
Yeah, because Nintendo has like exclusive Mario stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes them boatloads of money. Like they like money. Oh, yeah. They like their exclusivity.
Who doesn't like money if you're a corporation?
I feel like the closer example I thought of was Mass Effect. Right. I mean, it wasn't necessarily the life cycle of a single game, but you actually couldn't finish the trilogy properly if you played on PC because they released 3 on
Origin.
And your saves didn't carry over.
I thought you were going to say because you couldn't play the original on PlayStation 3 for...
It was a while. Yeah. Like they did eventually release it.
They did eventually, but I think that was after 3 came out.
Yeah, well after, I think. Like it was part of the bundle.
And that was due to just because EA didn't own them yet.
Yeah, that's what I meant, because that was one of those things where I think Microsoft published the first game, but not the sequels. So that would have been a case of a franchise going exclusive. I'm not going from exclusive to wider after the fact.
Yeah.
But there aren't many examples of something that's already out going exclusive after the fact. Like, I mean, I can't think of any examples. Like, there are games that have been multi-platform that became exclusive.
But also at the same time, like they're not leaving the PC, so
right? Like that—that's
the idea of it weird being figure. Exclusive to a platform is something of a like exaggeration. Like,
yeah, I mean, but a lot of it's the thing. I get it, but I also find it really funny with the PC front because Steam nor Epic cost you money. Like, I don't. I mean, maybe it's resource intensive. I don't think so. I can't imagine why you can't have both installed.
If you are legitimately concerned about Epic security stuff, like I can understand
I don't know how. I don't know. Sometimes that stuff steeps into weird, like racist territory.
It does
simply because they have Chinese investment. Like,
I did, in fact, have like not too far ago, and I still have the Epic Game Store installed. But somebody from Thailand did try to access my.
Yeah, I mean, I get that all the time, and that's because I have Fortnite downloaded. Like,
right.
I get people from Russia trying to hack into both my PlayStation and my Fortnite accounts, like, weekly, you know?
And you can set up, like, I think Epic has two-factor identification, so it's like you can do stuff to prevent some of that, but also maybe change your passwords every once in a while.
Right.
It's a smart policy on the internet. I don't know. I don't have an issue with it. it has this Epic stuff has made people angry, though.
And the ironic thing is that before this, everyone was shitting on Steam because Steam or Valve basically like put their hands up and they were like, where else are you going to go? We have no reason to like fix anything or add features or do any or like, you know, take care of the mounds of garbage that are on our platform. And now that there's competition, everyone's like suddenly on the opposite side of things. And
how dare you?
The fuck do you people want?
And how do you expect anybody to make inroads into be competition against them without doing something like this?
Yeah.
And it's funny because I think it came out this week or last week, and I'm paraphrasing from what I saw in the headlines. I didn't read. Is that I believe they said that they would stop buying up exclusives if Steam agreed to the 88% share.
Yeah, Tim Sweeney's out there saying some shit. I don't necessarily know if he's just talking out of his ass for the fun of it because he's on Twitter or.
He seems to enjoy talking out of his ass. So.
Yeah.
But I mean, in that scenario, he comes off looking good because it's like, oh, yeah, we'll stop doing this if you agree to kind of give up, I think, half of their money was what they took.
All he wanted was basically for them to make the revenue split that they announced available for all levels of development instead of just big companies.
Right, because like if you're a AAA company, it's based on sales, right? So like if you're selling like a giant AAA game,
yeah, it was like, hey, the revenue split becomes 88% after you've sold $10 million worth of product,
right? Oh well, any other news?
Like I mentioned before, Detective Pikachu reviews are hitting. I think right now it's at like a 60-something on Rotten Tomatoes, which doesn't seem that high, but it technically makes it the highest-rated video game movie of all time. So,
video game movies.
Yeah, I mean, that's something to look forward to.
So when does Sonic come out?
November.
I believe it's November, yeah.
November. All right, so we should do predictions on what that Rotten Tomatoes score is going to be.
I don't think it ever gets above a 50.
12. I'm going with 12.
12, okay.
I am going to wait until the second trailer comes out and to see the revised design.
Okay.
Though I also will say that I don't think the movie looks bad. I think it's very generic. Outside of Sonic's design, it looks like a really just bad comedy. And that can go either way. It could just be inoffensive enough where people are like, yeah, if you have a weekend to kill, go see it.
This is true.
I feel like the only way people get to see that movie are kids who don't know any better dragging their parents to that movie.
I mean, we'll see. I think it really depends on the market. And I do think, you know, good or bad, it has generated a lot of discussion this week. And I do think that's going to carry it. Like, Sonic is one of those franchises, I think I mentioned this on Twitter when the trailer came out, that really has sustained itself on goodwill for 15 years or so now. And
I don't know if that's true. It has somehow stuck around, but I don't think it's on the goodwill or anything. I think it's just because, like, because, I mean, if you right before Sonic
Mania,
the last, 15 years of Sonic were trash?
Like I said, that's why it sustained itself on goodwill, because the franchise still sells decently. Like, most Sonic games come out and sell at least 2 million.
So, like these people are just abused, and like they see a new Sonic game and feel they have to buy it?
It's Stockholm Syndrome.
We should get into Jeff with this. Jeff loves this.
Yeah, because he still buys like all of them.
Everyone, religiously.
This is going to be the one, guys.
He's going to see that movie.
Of course he is. He'll be there day one.
Yeah, I think he will. Anyway, I don't have it in front of me, so I don't know if we want to touch on it. But I guess Randy Pitchford went crazy yesterday, too.
Again?
Oh, yes. Okay, but in what way? Like, I don't understand. Like, I watched the Borderlands 3, like, gameplay thing, and he was sweaty, but he was chill otherwise.
Like he went crazy on Twitter, I guess, afterwards.
Someone betrayed him.
If I understand the story correctly, it was because they advertised Borderlands 3 as not having any microtransactions.
Yes.
And then it came out that Borderlands 3 does have, like, you can purchase cosmetic stuff for your characters. And I think Game Informer ran an article saying, like, they said it doesn't have microtransactions, but you can buy X, Y, and Z. And I think he snapped, like, this isn't microtransactions, which is, I mean, essentially exactly what it is.
Exactly what it is, yes. Yeah, I was curious. I saw a bunch of things pop up about that. I'm going to look up Randy Pitchford's Twitter.
I think he deleted it. He deleted the... Because he's, you know, a coward.
Yeah, well, I woke up this morning and saw Mike Futter, who some of us may know. And he worked for Game Informer and did a lot of their news stuff, and he was doing some commentary on it, and did not seem great.
It's a 17 tweet long tweet thread.
Okay, once you hit more than like 5, probably need to step away from the computer.
He's literally turning into Donald Trump.
I mean, he's always sucked.
Yes,
he has, yeah.
That's why it sucks that Borderlands is like so closely tied to that company, because Borderlands games are fun.
It's not the company, it's the guy.
Yeah, but he's so much the face of that company that, which is sad because like everything around it, like everything surrounding him just has a bad taste. And it makes everything about that company like seem wrong, even though it's not like they're good people working there, I'm sure. So I don't really want to support him. Anyway, that's it. So we'll be back next week where Tony will tell Jeff all about Imperator Rome.
I will.
And maybe some people have seen Detective Pikachu.
Oh, yes, that is a possibility. I don't believe I am going to get a chance to see it early, but
no, I am going to see it next Friday. There's like a group of 10 of us who have tickets for it.
Okay. Yeah. I look forward to your review of Detective Pikachu, Earl.
Pika Pika.
Oh God.
Tony's like, no.
Anything
but that is over, right?
We haven't ended yet, but yes, we're getting there.
It's over.
It's over.